Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Congress votes to release the Epstein files. We have the story.
A driver is dead after a crash in southeast Wichita. I'm Phil Hildebrand, and I'll have that story coming up.
Wichita teen killed in a river crash has been identified. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Both houses of Congress voted Tuesday to force the release of all the files of Jeffrey Epstein.
The Senate's action was decisive, quick, and without objection. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer asked for and got unanimous consent without a formal vote.
The American people have waited long enough. Jeffrey Epstein's victims have waited long enough.
The House vote ahead of the Senate was also decisive, but not unanimous. Speaker Mike Johnson said on the House floor,
"The victims deserve our utmost respect. In fact, they should be saluted for their courage."
The lone no vote in the House came from Louisiana Republican Clay Higgins, who said he feels such a broad reveal of the facts will hurt innocent people, so he could not support it. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
A 39-year-old Wichita man died Tuesday morning after crashing into a bridge in southeast Wichita.
A Kansas Department of Transportation employee found a pickup that had crashed into a bridge just north of K-15 and 55th Street South. The employee also reported a possible ejection. First responders found the driver had been ejected from the truck. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Investigators said the pickup was traveling south on K-15 when it left the roadway for an unknown reason and hit the bridge railing. The dead man's name has not been released. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
A teenager has died after driving his vehicle into the Little Arkansas River.
He was identified as 19-year-old Alejandro Tran. The accident happened around 4 Monday afternoon, just off of 21st between Arkansas and Amadon. Tran was pulled from the vehicle and transported to an area hospital in critical condition where he later died. Police say he was the only person in the vehicle, and they believe he was speeding at the time of the crash. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
President Trump faces a setback in his efforts to secure the Republican majority in the House after the midterm elections. Fox's Aisha Hazmi has the latest from Capitol Hill.
This came down from a 3-judge panel in Texas, and they basically ruled that Republicans there cannot use those newly redrawn maps in next year's midterm elections. The U.S. District Judge Jeffrey Brown, who actually was nominated by President Trump, authored this decision and said that the new maps would harm Black and Hispanic voters. The Texas redrawing set off a nationwide redistricting battle, with California passing a ballot measure to give Democrats more seats. So this may actually take some pressure off other states like Indiana that were perhaps next in line to redraw their maps.
Judge Brown added that substantial evidence shows that Texas racially gerrymandered the 2025 map. New Jersey man pardoned by President Trump is imprisoned again.
51-year-old Eli Weinstein sentenced to 37 years in prison, convicted of stealing from investors in medical supplies to be sent to Ukraine. Weinstein also ordered to pay $44 million in restitution. Two prior fraud conviction sentences were commuted by Trump during his first term. Prosecutors say Weinstein immediately launched his latest Ponzi scheme after his release from prison. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Attention veterans and active military. In November, Overhead Door Company.
KNSS News Time now. 7:07, 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Federal law enforcement says a man they recently arrested in Kansas allegedly belongs to a terrorist organization. The 31-year-old man from Uzbekistan was arrested on November 9th by ICE agents while he was working as a commercial truck driver with a Pennsylvania license. They're not saying where the arrest was made. He is wanted in his home country for being part of a terrorist organization. DHS reports he entered the country illegally in February 2023. Border Patrol arrested and later released him. A company in Watsonville, California is developing what could become the new standard for getting around. Fox Business's Max Gordon has the story from Watsonville.
Pivotal is producing an electric-powered personal flying vehicle for sale right now. Ken Kirkland, the CEO of Pivotal, says the company's newest model, the Helix, can fly for around 20 minutes. The price tag, between $190,000 and $260,000. Pivotal's personal flying vehicles fall into what's known as the ultralight category of aircraft, and no pilot's license is required to fly one. This comes as the Trump administration recently announced a program to fast-track advanced air mobility vehicles like those manufactured by Pivotal, with the hopes of expanding connectivity to rural communities, reducing congestion on roads, and enhancing emergency services and medical transport.
The company also provides training to fly its vehicles and has already trained 50 pilots. New speculation about the FBI's investigation into a Titusville, Florida teen who mysteriously died on a Carnival cruise ship earlier this month. Fox's Chancellor Wynn is in Titusville with more.
For the first time since 18-year-old Anna Kepner died on a Carnival cruise ship, court documents state the FBI's investigation could become criminal, as, quote, a criminal case may be initiated against one of the minor children. This is according to a motion filed by the attorney for Kepner's stepmother, Chantel Hudson, in an unrelated civil divorce case where her attorney says Hudson should not have to testify in an upcoming hearing because her testimony could be self-incriminating. The document states Kepner was on a Carnival cruise with her stepmother and her stepmother's child when her body was found on November 7th in Titusville. Chancellor Wynn, Fox News.
It could be a bit dicey getting around for millions of travelers next week.
Two storms are looming over next week's Thanksgiving holiday with the potential to cause delays during the busiest travel period of the year. The first storm system will bring rain to the southern plains Monday as it tracks into the southeast, and potentially the mid-Atlantic or northeast through Tuesday. While the exact track is still unknown, long-range forecasts appear to be in agreement that the South will see several days of rain. Chris DeMeo, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
On the traffic cameras, you can see things getting quite a bit, you can see the traffic volumes getting quite a bit heavier out there. We've got a lot of traffic right now on K-42, right around I-235 over in southwest Wichita, and traffic getting heavier on I-235 around Zoo Boulevard as well. So we've just got a couple of areas that are slowing down, and we've now had the report of a traffic accident. This just coming out southbound on I-135, and it's between 29th and 21st. So southbound on I-135 north of 21st Street. Got a traffic accident there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now let's take a look at the forecast with Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Well, good morning to you, Steve. We've got another very mild November afternoon coming up. It seems like we've said that all but like 2 days this entire month. It's been quite warm. But we're also focusing on the chance of rain, which for the first time in now more than 3 weeks is looking more and more likely, something that's been highly advertised the past several days. Just about here, we're possibly going to see some scattered thunderstorms after midnight tonight. So don't be surprised if you hear some distant rumbles of thunder, because that's the higher humidity that's coming in from the south, and that could set off some scattered storms over Wichita after midnight. But the majority of our rain is coming up late Thursday afternoon into Thursday night, and it still looks promising that we're going to get about an inch of rain. Again, most of that coming after 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. It will rain Thursday night, and we'll still have some wet streets and highways, interstates too, as we move through Friday morning rush hour. And then once we get to Friday afternoon, it's just cloudy and cooler. There's no Arctic air coming in, so there's no chance that any of this is going to switch to ice or snow. And that, of course, good news for anybody that's got Friday travel or over the weekend if you're going to be out on the highways and interstates. It does look like some pretty nice conditions coming up. 67 on the high today with clouds increasing. We'll drop to 53 overnight, 65 tomorrow, just ahead of the more substantial rain. And then Friday, as we're getting some rain, especially in the morning, we're looking at a temperature of just 58 degrees. There's a lot of stuff out there on Facebook and X and, you know, all the social pages talking about major cold, major storm around Thanksgiving. It does look like it's going to turn rather chilly in time for Thanksgiving, but a major storm next week looks unlikely. We're going to see a chance for some rain showers now on Monday into early Tuesday, but no ice and no snow with it. So again, travel leading up to Thanksgiving around here should be in pretty good shape. 40 degrees this morning in Wichita. We've got some clouds out there this morning. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
It's been a while since we had any measurable precipitation then, huh?
Yeah, today's, let's see, day 22.
Oh, wow. All right. Thank you, sir. We will check with you again tomorrow morning. The forecast with Storm Team 12, Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS 713. And coming up just about an hour from now, we're going to check in with Sean Stewart from AAA Kansas. And we're going to talk about their AAA's travel predictions coming up for the holiday. And AAA's been doing this for quite a while, and they usually got some very good information about, are you going to travel by plane, by car, or whatever. That's coming up around 8:10 this morning. Well, this is the 19th day of November. Today is Steve and Ted Show number 7,060. 7,060. Of course, we give Ted another day off this morning, so he will not be here to celebrate with us today. On this date in 2014, the epic snowstorm overwhelmed upstate New York for 3 days. From the 17th to the 19th, Buffalo experienced a blitzkrieg of lake effect snow that buried the region with 3 feet to 5.5 feet. There were hundreds of roof collapses and other structural failures, thousands of stranded motorists and scattered gas and food shortages. 13 people died in the disaster again. That was this time of the year in 2014. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Yesterday's high temperature, Wichita, 77. Normal high for the date, 66. And if you were listening yesterday, you heard us talking about my grandson, Nolan, celebrating his 26th birthday yesterday. And for the evening, we took my wife and I and my daughter, Stacy, took Nolan to a restaurant that he favored, and then we went over to her house for a little piece of cake. I was very pleased to see Nolan's lifelong friend, Zach Smith, was there and spent the evening with us. Zach and Nolan grew up out in the west side of Wichita, and I think they're pretty much buddies all the way through grade school and high school. Did a lot of things, played some ball together in the summertime. They were on the chess clubs. It was good to see Zach. I haven't seen him in a long, long time. He's a large family out there on the west side, and his parents are nice, and he's got 5 siblings. They got 6 people in that family. Nolan had a great birthday, I think, and we gave him a nice little gift and celebrated there. It was on this date 19 years ago, 2006, Nintendo released the Wii console, and we had one in our house, and we still have one in our house, I think. My grandsons and I played many a game on Wii. Our favorite was bowling.
You like the Wii bowling, huh?
The Wii bowl, and I know at the time, in some of the old folks' homes where folks can't get around as much, that was a huge deal.
Yeah, it was a big hit amongst people that weren't traditionally considered people who were into video games. It right. really was big, well, and it made massive money for Nintendo.
Shelly and I had
big success.
Had one installed in our house. There you go.
Yeah.
We're not that big on gaming.
And I imagine you didn't have any other game consoles hanging out.
Not a one. Nope. Yeah. Let's see here. A Michigan man sentenced to 2 years in federal prison for admitting he posted online threats to kill President Donald Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance on a social media platform. And here's the rub. The defendant shares a moniker with the vice president. Federal prosecutors announced the sentence for 67-year-old James Donald Vance Jr., who goes by J.D. Vance, like the vice president, after he pleaded guilty to multiple felony counts tied to the threats. And they put him in, going to put him in for 2 years. Birthdays today. Ted Turner, 87. Of course, American entrepreneur, television producer, media proprietor, and philanthropist, one time married to Jane Fonda. He founded the cable news network, otherwise known as CNN, the first 24-hour cable news channel. And he's quite a visionary, a guy who saw the future and just rolled the dice. And I'll tell you what, Ted Turner, when he had a steakhouse here in town, that was one of my favorite places to go. And they featured bison because he apparently has lots of bison herds. But their ribeye was absolutely terrific.
You and Ted both loved Ted's Steakhouse.
Ted Turner's Steakhouse, yep.
I don't think I ever went there. I'm not sure that I ever did.
Well, too late now.
Yeah, too late, and it's gone.
It's gone. 7:18 now, Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And, hey, let's take a look at sports this morning with Jad Chambers, sir.
All right, we'll do just that. It was a good start for the Shockers in their first road matchup of the season facing Boise State last night. The Shockers jumped out to an early 7-0 lead and prevented the Broncos from putting a point on the board for nearly the first whole 5 minutes of play. But Boise State did manage to fight their way back pretty quickly. And not only pretty quickly, but unfortunately, then they kind of took over. They led at Boise State led at half, 32-27, and things really started looking fairly bad for the Shockers at that point. So with about 12 minutes left in the game, the Shockers actually were trailing by 15 points. But then they started to kind of chip away, started to make their way back. And then they got to the point of the game where you have to start conserving time by fouling. So they'd foul Boise State. Boise State would miss free throws. So they kept climbing back and chipping back. And that stopping the clock all the time was sort of going the Shockers' way. And they had a chance with the seconds expiring. They had a chance to tie the game. Here it is. You heard it over on 103.7 KEYN.
Missed it. Rebound Kendall. A three could tie it for Wichita State. Kendall to Gray. Long three. No good off the back. And that's going to do it.
So it was.
That's it.
Yeah. Very close, but came down to that last shot, but it just that last one didn't fall. And the Shockers lose it. Final score on that one, 62-59. Kenyon Giles led Wichita State with 15 points. Michael Gray Jr., 12 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Next up for the Shockers, return to Charles Koch Arena on Saturday night for a matchup with Milwaukee at 6 p.m., And also not good news for KU basketball fans. Of course, they lost last night, but they lost a fifth-ranked Duke, so that's not really going to hurt them too much there. The Jayhawks were still without their best player, Darren Peterson, still out because of a lingering hamstring injury, and he's missed 3 consecutive games. The Hawks lost last night to number 5 Duke, 78-66. It drops him to 3-2 on the season. Next up for KU, a trip to Vegas to face Notre Dame on Monday night in each team's opening game of the Players Era Tournament. Wichita State women's basketball team battled through a back-and-forth matchup with Southeast Missouri State in a game that featured 20 lead changes. But it was a late surge by the Redhawks that led to a 69-62 loss for the Shockers Tuesday night inside Charles Koch Arena. Turnovers proved to be costly for the Shockers. Southeast Missouri State scored 26 points off of 18 Wichita State turnovers.
Oh.
Yeah. That
a lot of turnovers.
Really is. Shockers play again Saturday night, hosting Cal State Bakersfield. Tonight, over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH, we have Butler Grizzlies basketball. Butler on the road facing Coffeyville. A broadcast start at 7:15 tonight. And again, that's over on KFH. And that's sports on Steve and Ted in the morning. Sports, of course, is sponsored by Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Bring the whole family and your out-of-town visitors to WBC for a taste of pizza and beer made here, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley, Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season.
KNSS News Time now, 7:22. Keep it up for House Call for Health, a technique to help relieve back pain if you work at a desk. That's on the way. Steve, it's 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
Steve and Tad on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, KNSS News. I'm Steve McIntosh. 7:30 this morning, we have a mostly cloudy sky and 40 degrees. The House and the Senate voted almost unanimously Tuesday to pass a bill that would force the Justice Department to publicly release all its files on the child sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace tells Fox News at night the passage of the bill is a major victory for survivors.
For the women out there like myself who haven't gotten justice, this is a moment that gives, I hope, all of us hope across the country.
The representative was one of four Republicans who joined House Democrats in forcing a House vote on the bill. Wichita police are investigating after skimming devices were found at two Ameritrust credit union locations at Pawnee and Broadway and 21st and Tyler. As a precaution, they are encouraging customers to monitor their accounts for any unauthorized transactions. Skimmer devices are illegal attachments that criminals place on legitimate credit card readers at gas pumps, ATMs, and point-of-sale terminals to steal card information. Analysts suggest that Iran leads the globe in executions of its citizens for capital per capita. Fox's Rich Edson has the latest from Washington.
Human rights group Amnesty International says Iran has executed more than 1,025 people through September, already surpassing last year's total. Other groups figure that number is even higher. The regime cites drug offenses as justification for more than half of them. And there is an increasing number of religious minorities executed. At the Free Iran Summit last week in Washington, the regime's opponents, some who say they were once imprisoned in Iran, claimed simple opposition was justification for detention. Earlier this month, the revolutionary government in Iran celebrated the anniversary of the 1979 takeover of the U.S. embassy there. For the government, the revolution continues, as does the violent suppression of voices of those who might oppose it.
The United Nations reports attacks from the U.S. and Israel on the nation over the summer have led to an uptick in repression. Massachusetts state police are ordered to pay an extensive penalty for discrimination against female and minority troopers.
The lawsuit verdict, which was confirmed Tuesday in Suffolk, Massachusetts Superior Court, forces the state to pay a $6.8 million penalty for those discriminatory practices. The suit, filed in 2016, accused the organization of picking people for jobs before those jobs were even posted, and that white men with lesser experience were regularly promoted ahead of female, black, and Hispanic officers. The suit also claimed that in September of 2018, only about 5% of the Massachusetts State Police were women and less than 10% were minorities. The state police claimed it's changed its policies and remains committed to building a force that, at every rank, reflects the communities they serve. Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
The Sedgwick County Commission meets today, and Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News it will be a short meeting with no new business. He says there is a second meeting for the commission.
The county actually serves as the governing body of Fire District Number 1. This is Sedgwick County Fire. It's a separate governing taxing jurisdiction than Sedgwick County government. So those taxpayers in the fire district, which are about 13 cities like Mays and Park City and Kechai and Bel Air, Hayesville, these are cities that pay fire district taxes. And then the unincorporated part of the county pays fire district taxes.
Ryan Beatty commented during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted of the Morning Show on KNSS. And now let's take a look at the forecast with meteorologist Halen Wilhite.
Rumps from Teen 12, we're kicking off your Wednesday morning cool and quiet. Get ready for another mild afternoon, a high of 67, with those clouds gradually increasing, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. Temperatures falling into the 50s tonight. We'll be watching for a few isolated thunderstorms developing to the south and east of the Wichita Metro. Better chances of rain as we enter your late Thursday afternoon, but expect a high of 65 degrees. Widespread rain continues Thursday night and into your Friday morning, with those temperatures eventually cooling off into the upper 50s. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Halen Wilhite.
And now a mostly cloudy sky. We have a northeast wind at 7 miles per hour. 40 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted of the morning here, and excuse me, Ted's having taking a day off. So it's this is Steve and Ted show number 7060, 7060. And I've got something going on, and I don't know what it is, but I've had a little bit of an upper respiratory problem last 2 days. I've got a tickle in my throat that will not stop.
Yeah.
I've been drinking water, coffee.
Trying to get through it, anything you can.
Oh, boy. So I'm struggling this morning with that. So bear with us. We'll try to get through the day.
Oh, yeah.
November 19th. On this date, 162 years ago, in 1863, Abraham Lincoln, delivered his Gettysburg Address.
Oh, yeah.
The dedication of the Civil War Cemetery in Pennsylvania. One of the most famous speeches in American history. It's just 3 minutes long, and Lincoln wrote it on the train.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a break here. KNSS News Time, 7:35.
Woke radical liberals.
Steve and Ted of the morning, KNSS, 7:39 here on this Wednesday morning. Three big things. Federal three-judge panel says no to Republican plan to redraw Texas district map. Three finalists for the Wichita City Manager job meet citizens and answer questions at Botanica. Congress approves release of the Epstein files. The bill is now on President Trump's desk. Three big things, Steve and Ted, on KNSS.
All right, we have a traffic accident. This is southbound on I-135. It's north of 21st Street North, and some of the bigger slowdowns that we've got right now are southbound on I-135 up in the North Junction, just to the north of there, and, of course, that very narrow ramp that's always been backing down in this road construction of northbound I-235 over to eastbound K-96, that very narrow ramp there. So we've got a slowdown notice there. We also have a slowdown. This is on the ramp from southbound I-135 to westbound Kellogg. That is starting to slow down and getting a lot of traffic right there in that Delano District area, Maple and Seneca, Douglas and Seneca, and also McLean and 2nd Street and Sycamore right there. We've got by the river, we've got quite a bit of traffic at the moment. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
Patchy fog today, then sunny today with a high of 66 degrees. Yesterday's high in Wichita, 77. 20% chance for rain tonight, the overnight low 53. And on Thursday, a 50% chance for rain and a high of 65 degrees. Right now, mostly cloudy. We have a northeast wind at 7 miles per hour and 40 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Yeah, and of course,
Dad, what's up?
You were talking about the patchy fog right there, Steve, and I've been looking through these traffic cameras out there, and really, I haven't seen fog that's been looking all that bad on the traffic cameras just yet, but Eisenhower National Airport does have visibility listed at 7 miles, so not quite full. So here in Wichita, fog doesn't appear to be that bad, but of course there are some areas where it's definitely going to be heavier than others. So visibility, a issue that you might have to just be aware of out there this morning.
All right. Local trailer manufacturer is expanding, and we'll talk about that with the Wichita Business Journal update with Kirk Seminoff coming up here in just a few minutes. With Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And President Trump attacked ABC News reporter Mary Bruce for questioning him about the Epstein files, and he threatened to have the network taken off the air. Trump criticized Bruce's attitude and called her a terrible person and a terrible reporter for asking about the Epstein files. He accused ABC News of being fake and wrong and suggested that their license should be taken away for their coverage. So obviously, she did not get an answer to her question. She was just attacked for even answering that. Okay. And if you're still stuck taking care of the turtle your child desperately needed 15 years ago, just know that there's a worse pet kids could demand in the future. Researchers say raccoons may be inching closer to becoming pets. A study from the University of Arkansas's Department of Biology found that raccoons are physically changing in response to their interactions with humans.
All right. So they're getting slightly more domesticated rather than being just the wild rodents they are.
Friendly.
Okay.
And by physically changing, they mean their faces are evolving to look cuter. They're not dumpster driving less or becoming less disease-ridden. But there you are.
Okay, so the humble trash panda is trying to become evolution is steering it towards becoming a pet.
It's not
making it cuter?
It's not unheard of. Now,
no,
as far as getting cuter, I don't know. I'm not buying that. But they're an interesting animal, of course, with stripes and the little mask that they have around the eyes. It looks like a burglar. But I have one of my best friends growing up over the West Side. When they were kids, they got, I don't know who gave them to them, somebody gave them a little raccoon, a little pup.
Huh.
And they took the animal, they cared for it, and it began to grow. Excuse me, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. The raccoon's name was Herbie. And my good friend Steve Boyd, whom I've known since sixth grade, he would have come over to the house now and then. I'd go over to his house, and there'd be Herbie. And he wasn't aggressive.
No.
It was a very docile thing, and he just kept getting bigger. Fun to watch him. fun to watch him eat his favorite food, which was cheese curls.
And that's why it kept getting bigger and bigger, because its favorite food was cheese curls.
And nobody was chasing him around the neighborhood. So, they have no, as I remember, raccoons have no salivary glands. So everything has to be in water. So he would take it with his little raccoon hands and take these cheese curls and put them in water and get them all watered up, and then he would eat them.
Okay. I guess that...
We did have a...
Yes, that makes a little sense.
And kids were in and out there all day, and Herbie was okay, but there was one kid Herbie physically could not stand. And that was my friend Ed Hill, who we ran around with Steve quite a bit, so that every now and then we'd go over there with Ed Hill, and this Herbie would be up in the basement. He'd be up in the rafters up there above in the ceiling, and his head came by... Herbie might jump on him and attack him. I don't think he ever bit him or anything like that. He just, there's something about Ed's head that he didn't like. So, yes, you can domesticate a raccoon. They are becoming apparently more friendly. All right, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And we haven't heard from our good friend Kirk Kasonoff for a couple days. We're going to talk with him in just a minute here. An internet outage affected millions Tuesday morning.
Fox on Tech.
Did you get back on your social media yet? You might have had trouble logging on Tuesday or using some AI bots like ChatGPT or some productivity apps such as Canva and a whole host of others, including retailers using Shopify's platform. All this because Cloudflare, the online services provider, had a bit of a crash that was felt worldwide. Cloudflare isn't a web host, but is a delivery network that gets things online to users and back, and that went down. And the end result was a lot of non-functioning apps and web browser error notes. Cloudflare says the problem is resolved and wasn't the result of an attack, but that an automatically generating configuration file grew too large and crashed their systems. It happens just weeks after Amazon Web Services, one of the premier web hosts in the world, also had an internal error that brought the Internet to a screeching halt. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Interesting. I had one of my favorites on my web page on my browser yesterday that wouldn't open. And there was no reason for it. I had the password and everything. And found out later that this outage happened, so that's apparently what happened.
Yeah, same with me. I had a couple of websites that I usually go to and check every single day, and both were down yesterday morning. Both were due to the Cloudflare issue.
The Cloudflare.
Yep.
The downward trend continued on Wall Street Tuesday.
The major averages continuing to sell off, with the Dow falling sharply for a fourth straight session as investors worry about an AI bubble and a broader economic downturn. Investors are eagerly awaiting two key tests of those concerns: NVIDIA's earnings report after the closing bell on Wednesday and the shutdown-delayed September jobs report Thursday morning. Shares of NVIDIA fell over 2%. Tech was the worst performer among the S&P 500 sectors, while healthcare gained. The Dow winners: Goldman Sachs, Travelers, and Merck. The Dow decliners: Home Depot, Microsoft, and Amazon. The Dow falling 499 points, the Nasdaq lower by 275, S&P 500 down 55. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Local trailer manufacturer expanding. Time for the Wichita Business Journal update now with editor Kirk Sevedoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. It's Hillsborough Industries. It's a longtime trailer and truck bed manufacturer. It's expanded into Newton with plans to ramp up production and double its revenue by the end of the decade. Hillsborough Industries CEO Mike Gerken tells the Business Journal the company recognized the need for a second manufacturing facility when the company could no longer meet its growing customer demand for livestock trailers. The Newton facility has been up to speed for about 2 weeks, and the company hopes to double revenue to $50 million by 2030. In Newton, Hillsborough Industries hopes to add 50 jobs over the next 5 years. Wichita's Cornejo brothers are setting up shop in northeast Wichita. Ron and Marty Cornejo are in the process of renovating and expanding a business for their Cornejo Holdings investment firm. The building's at 3445 North Webb Road, which previously housed LifeSave Medical Transport. Marty Cornejo called it a virtual teardown and start over. The firm is moving out of its space at All Metal Recycling on 21st Street near I-135. The Webb Road office will be expanded by about 2,000 square feet, with the addition of a gym that includes a basketball court and a garage. And Wichita's drone company, Eagle NXT, showed an improved cash balance in third quarter earnings as the company's financial losses improved. Formerly called Ag Eagle, the company reported the reversal of a notice given last year of substantial doubt regarding a going concern. Eagle NXT posted a net loss of $2.6 million in Q3, down from a $3.5 million loss in the same quarter of 2024. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Seminoff.
So Eagle does drones, right?
They are. They started a little company. He started in 2010 in Neodesha, Kansas, and moved up to Wichita about 7 years ago. And they're a public company, and they've had trouble with, you know, making a profit. But I think they're on the way back a little bit. They used to be focused in agriculture, but now they've also switched into defense as well.
Drones being not really a fad, because there's a lot going on with them. I mean, sure, that's probably a pretty good market if they can get into it and do the right things.
You see them all the time now in residential real estate listings. Can't even put a listing on the internet anymore without drone footage of the house. So. Yeah, there certainly is a call for them.
All right. Well, I've been watching the stock market this week, and it's kind of stinky. I mean, the Dow is setting new records on how many points it could drop in one day, like 400 or 500 yesterday. I don't know what's going on there, but I sure hope they get it turned around, because I would like to retire one of these days, and if my 401k has 8 cents in it, that probably won't work very well, you know.
It'll last you about 2 minutes, won't it?
If that, yes. The Wichita Business Journal update is brought to you by Mr. Electric, lighting up the path to your success. All right, haven't seen you for a couple of days, and good to have you back. Did you go anywhere exciting you want to tell us about, or is it something personal?
I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, with some high-level American City Business Journal meetings.
Is that where...
I didn't actually go inside for the meetings, but I saw people go inside for the meetings.
Oh, okay. So is that Charlotte where the Business Journal... Is that the world headquarters for you guys?
That's the world headquarters. We have 41 markets around the country, and all the editors-in-chief of all 41 markets were in one place at the same time.
So I read so much and hear so much about Charlotte, and a lot of economic things are happening there. What is the secret to that community? What are they doing right that they get all this economic development and all these companies that are coming in there? What's going on?
Well, they've got a ton of banks. They've got a ton of financial institutions, financial services institutions there that they've been able to attract over the years. And this is not all that recent. It's been over probably a 20-30 year period.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you walk through the downtown streets of Charlotte and just look up, and if you don't run into anything, you keep looking up and you see some just massive, massive high-rises that are pretty recent, are probably within the last 20 years. Mm. Charlotte is really gone, not only out, but up in the past 20 years.
All right, well, we are celebrating, if you will, a Have a Bad Day Day. Day provides the ideal opportunity for those who must wish others a happy day while having a bad day.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Themselves. The idea behind the day is that people do not have to mask their actual feelings and embrace the truth. So I guess if you're having a bad day, you can say to somebody, you can be grumpy with them. Ever notice that most morning radio people never have a bad day? Right, Kirk?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Somebody Journalists as a whole never have a bad day, do we?
Yeah, somebody says, how do you do that? I said, well, just something you do. You learn how to do it, even if you don't feel well. You got to go in there.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that. More dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
And do the job, right? I haven't had a bad day in years, tell you the truth. I have a lot of good days, and so do you. And we appreciate it, and we will talk with you again next hour, okay?
You got it.
The Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Semenoff. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNS. Coming up the 8 o'clock hour this morning, got a lot of information planned for you this morning. Congress okays the release of the Epstein files. We'll tell you about that. Jad Chambers on the sports desk this morning, Jad.
That's right. We got results for the Shockers and for the Jayhawks. Maybe not great results, but we got results for them. We'll tell you about coming up in sports.
How about entertainment? You've got the Blur on the way, too?
Oh, plenty to talk about on the Blur. We got some video game news on the Blur. We've got some auction, some memorabilia coming up for auction. Got some country music news. All coming up on the Blur here in a little over half hour from now.
And we have traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.